Your work week is over.
The plant called and said if you don't come in tomorrow, don't bother coming in Monday.
Woohoo! 4-day weekend.
This is The Last Word, the off-season home of the Colts, with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor.
Welcome into The Last Word right here on 93.5, 107.5 The Fan. This is our weekly off-season radio show featuring your Colts every Friday evening right here. We're brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Make every moment more. Coming up tonight, Matt Taylor. What's coming up tonight. Voice of the Colts, Maytay, and this is a fun weekend because last weekend, the NBA invaded Indianapolis, and this weekend and beyond, the NFL will be invading Indianapolis.
Right.
Great time of the year, and I'm just telling you right now, we're going to have so many guests on this show next week, as well as the Colts Audio Network. I mean, we have a lot of NFL royalty coming through town next week. And Maytay, you, myself, Lara Overton, J.J. Stankovic, Casey Vallier included, everybody's going to talk to somebody about this upcoming season because they're coming through Indianapolis.
You're up. Come on now.
Let's go. We're going to have 30, 40.
Yeah, let's go. We got Daniel Jeremiah visiting with us, Solomon Wilcox, Jordan Reed from ESPN. We got Dan Graziano from ESPN, Charles Davis from the NFL Network, Ryan Wilson from CBS.
Got it.
But basically, if you know the draft, you're going to be sitting down with Colts.com.
Hey, Field Yates from ESPN is going to join us in a few. He's also going to be at the NFL Combine, so we'll touch base on that. But it's going to heat up, Maytay. It's coming. It is coming. 321 draft prospects are going to flock to Indianapolis. Obviously, the medical portion of this is so huge. Some of the top players will be running. Some of them won't. Some of the top players will be throwing. Some of them won't. As far as what we're looking at, with the 15th overall pick, Shane Steichen, his second year going in, obviously has a handle on this offense, and he put up numbers last year. What are we expecting, like, these guys to figure out over the next week down at the NFL Combine, specifically as far as the front office goes, Chris Ballard, Shane Steichen, and what they're going to do as far as that 15th pick?
Well, I want to see and hear how good these quarterbacks are, because the Colts are rooting for quarterbacks galore to go off the board early and often in this draft as they sit with the 15th pick. The more quarterbacks taken off the board in the top half of the draft, the better non-quarterback talent that will be pushed down to number 15 for the Colts as they build around their quarterback and Anthony Richardson. I've seen up to 5 quarterbacks go in the top 15, and looking forward to talking with a lot of the draft nicks who study this stuff every single day. But to me, Jeffrey, the combine is always the flipping of the page, right? The Super Bowl is over. It's officially now on to next season. 2024 is here, and now it's about setting up the draft and how you're going to address a lot of your team needs.
Colts announced earlier in the week that Shane Steichen and general manager Chris Ballard will be speaking to the media. That's the first time since the season-ending loss. Maytay, what are you looking forward to hearing from these guys?
Well, with Chris, I mean, he's obviously going to be asked about some of the free agents, and it's a heavy in-house free agent class with a lot of starters like we've talked about. But I want to find out, are the Colts close to any extension with any of those players? Is the franchise tag in play for Michael Pittman Jr. to ensure he doesn't hit the open market here in a couple of weeks? I'm also curious about how the Colts view the end of the season and how close they feel they are to really contending in the AFC. We've talked about this, Jeffrey. The conference has 16 teams in it, and there's a lot of star power, especially at the quarterback position, which means there's a lot of parity when it comes to competing for the playoffs. So perhaps Shane and Chris will get into how aggressive they feel they need to be in talent acquisition in the next couple of months and how much talent they think they need to bring in to support Anthony Richardson, who will have to kind of reboot his rookie season to a degree next year.
And you talked about the free agents, which is a big thing here. Do these guys get together, these general managers at the combine, and talk things outside of prospects? You hear of some of these big deals going down and stuff like this. I think I may be wrong, but the crumbs of big major deals start at the combine, possibly
Absolutely.
Even before,
yeah.
when these guys pass each other in the hall, different general managers, and are saying,
GMs,
hey,
agents.
Yeah, you got a receiver, I need a receiver, et cetera. You got a defensive tackle, I want a defensive tackle. That's what I'm looking for, to get the juices flowing with this NFL free agency upon us.
That would qualify as tampering, but I think there's ways around that, as we've learned over the course of time, right? Because that trade last year with Carolina and Chicago happened the week after the the combine. So don't sit here and tell me that you didn't have whispers of that here in Indianapolis on Georgia Street, South Street, wherever, at the convention center. That all happened here in the Circle City.
Okay.
The crumbs, as you said.
Fair enough. It's all happening next week. And again, the Colts Audio Network is going to bring you a lot of interviews talking about your Colts with some of the NFL big heads around the league that are going to be in Indianapolis. So be sure to check out the Colts Audio Network as well as Colts.com. When we come back, more combine talk. We're going to do that with ESPN NFL insider Field Yates. We're going to get his thoughts on the Colts potential for 2024. Anthony Richardson coming back for his sophomore season and what he thinks of this AFC South and the rich quarterback play that we're seeing that we haven't seen for years on end. Hey, here we go. Field Yates coming up after this. This is The Last Word, 93.5, 107.5.
We're giving you all you need to know on the Colts. This is The Last Word with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor from the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio.
Matt Taylor, a closet Roxette fan. Welcome back, folks.
I heard this at the dentist's office this week.
Buying groceries, you hear, Roxette. This is The Last Word.
You're at the checkout line getting ready to swipe your Savers card.
This. Hey, you sing along. Everybody knows it, but
just
don't admit to
terrible
it.
Terrible song.
Not going to see Roxette this weekend if they're in town. That's just me, though. Hey, we're The Last Word, brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Make every moment more. Coming up now, I tell you why I like this guy. We're going to bring in Field Yates because Field, you look like you're having fun. That's why I like following you and all the coverage you give of the NFL, because you absolutely just, you tear it up and you're having a great time doing it.
Oh, I appreciate you saying that. Very kind. And I tell people often that it beats working doing what I do for a living.
No doubt.
If we can't have fun, then I think we're doing things the wrong way, because football is the ultimate 365-day-a-year sport, and that means that every day on the calendar we get to enjoy ourselves a whole lot more than most people do with their occupation.
You're absolutely right. Let's continue to enjoy ourselves. The mock draft from Field Yates is out. I want to start right there on a broad spectrum of the league. We got three quarterbacks back to back to back. Let's start at number one. You've got the Bears taking Caleb Williams from USC. What does that mean in your eyes for Justin Fields as far as where he can end up?
Yeah, I think it means he's traded. And I think that if the Bears were able to procure a trade for Justin Fields prior to the draft, it probably means a stronger return than if they trade him after the draft has begun. For this reason, the Bears, obviously, number one, can do whatever they want. But there are a lot of teams that are picking much later than the Bears that realize options are pretty limited. So if a team has made its commitment to Justin Fields by a trade with the Chicago Bears, it's telling Chicago they really want Justin. They are prioritizing him. So the package might be a second-round pick and a little bit more, kind of like the Sam Darnold deal a few years ago made by the Carolina Panthers with the New York Jets. Not saying that deal aged well for Carolina, but you're looking for sort of a real estate comparison, and that's one of the closer ones for this Justin Fields situation right now. If it happens after the draft has begun and you've already taken Caleb Williams, then the acquiring team knows, hey, yes, we need an option at quarterback, and Justin might be our best option, but you guys also are very unlikely to carry Justin and Caleb Williams going forward. As a result of that, we have a little bit of leverage too.
That's Field Yates from ESPN. I want to jot down, let's go to the middle of the draft, the Indianapolis Colts. Your pick, and I've got to ask you a question on this. You got me excited. Every year your mock draft comes out, and I said, what big offensive weapon does Field have us taking with Anthony Richardson in the mix? And it comes up, it's Terrion Arnold, a cornerback from Alabama. Do we not, Field, don't you think that this hierarchy here, this front office, wants to put some of those shiny big offensive pieces around someone like Anthony Richardson?
Yeah, it certainly would help, and it's an interesting sort of dilemma here, debate here, because as you know better than anybody, this team went young at corner last year, and the raw results were not bad. They were pretty much middle of the pack in a lot of the major pass defense categories. I would also say that you need to be careful because the schedule the Colts faced as far as quarterbacks are concerned last year was different than what they're going to face year after year after year, because
yeah.
You know, there are so many good quarterbacks in the NFL right now, and, you know, they don't control the schedule. I'm not trying to blame them for this, but, you know, it was a more favorable draw relative to how they might see it. And so I think that Terrion Arnold would help fortify that secondary for a long, long time. A terrific fast-rising player from this past season, had 5 interceptions, 12 pass breakups, kind of has the proverbial nose for the football. Very tough as well. And I tell people this often, if you're a defensive back that played for Nick Saban or Kirby Smart, you have my attention immediately. And if you're a really good one, it probably means that you're the real deal at the next level as well. And that's the case in Terrion Arnold for playing for Nick Saban. You're right, a wide receiver opposite of Michael Pittman Jr. and maybe sort of to be the second perimeter guy with Josh Downs now patrolling the slot would make a lot of sense in Indianapolis. I also think, though, that the options available in the middle of the second round where the Colts pick are stronger at wide receiver than they would be at cornerback at that same spot. So the wide receiver depth in this class makes for some really interesting decisions for teams. Specifically, do we prioritize these players because we think they're some of the very best, or do we perhaps say there's so many good wideouts that they might sort of slide down the board a little bit after the very elite at the top because of the fact that teams say, well, there's not that many great, I'm just making this up here, you know, safety. So we got to take one a little earlier than the wide receiver, because if we miss this wide receiver, we can get our third round target and feel really good about it.
That's Field Yates, ESPN NFL fantasy football analyst with us here on the Last Word. Jeffrey Gorman, I'm Matt Taylor, 93.5, 107.5, The Fan. Now, the franchise tag window is open, Field, as you know. Everybody around here pondering if Michael Pittman Jr. would be a good candidate for that. How do you view Pittman in relation to where he kind of ranks in the wide receiver free agency class? And what does he mean to the Colts, considering what the drop-off might look like if he's not on this roster next year?
Yeah, I think this would be – I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but I would certainly be surprised if the Colts don't use the franchise tag on Michael Pittman Jr. To me, it's a no-brainer, as a matter of fact. I mean, teams are always, always going to be more primed to reinvest in players that they drafted themselves. And what more could you have asked for out of a draft pick than what Michael Pittman Jr. has given you over the past four seasons? A second-round pick who has been an instant impact contributor, was absolutely remarkable, one of the most consistent receivers in all of football this past year, A++++ character, a guy who has made his roots in Indianapolis or in the surrounding area, has basically done everything you could possibly ask for. His toughness can be is not questioned at all.
Right.
He is just about as good as it gets in terms of a homegrown product. So the franchise tag to me is an easy way to get you to the next step, which is a negotiating table to try to get something hashed out long term. The player and the team always want that. So if he were to hit the open market absent the tag, we're talking about a massive, massive, massive contract for Michael Pittman Jr.
Right.
That would certainly start with a 2, as in somewhere in the 20s annually,
right,
if he hit the open market. So I would certainly be very, very careful allowing a guy like that to spend even a moment in free agency. It's a no-brainer for me. He's one of the more straightforward franchise tag decisions in all the NFL this season.
Field Yates from ESPN is our guest. What about Gardner Minshew? What's he looking at in free agency? Because, as you know, I mean, last year was the year of the backup quarterback. He had over 55 different signal callers starting a game in the NFL last year. What about Minshew's value on the open market, as he proved last year that, you know, he's always going to give you a chance to win?
He's always going to give you a chance to win. He's going to probably be a little bit overlooked in free agency because he seems to have been this past year as well. Here's what I would say. I don't think too many teams have Gardner Minshew as their primary target A, as their starting quarterback for 2024, teams that have some level of uncertainty. But where I think Minshew benefits is that while there are a lot of teams that need a quarterback, and I'm talking about a starting quarterback, you know, beyond the teams, the three teams at the top, you've got maybe the Giants want to add a quarterback to the room, maybe the Falcons, maybe the Vikings, maybe the Broncos, maybe the Saints, maybe the Raiders. You know, there are a bunch of them. The Steelers certainly come to mind. I'm not sure how many qualified, guaranteed options there are in free agency or on the trade market that can sort of check the box for those teams. So while it may not be a robust long-term deal, I do think he'll fare much better than he did last season, and I have a lot of respect for him. You know, continues to be the answer-the-call quarterback, oftentimes under adverse circumstances. Not a lot of preparation to get ready. And I thought this past season was very commendable for Gardner Minshew. Pro Bowl quarterback, Gardner Minshew, by the way.
No less. That's Field Yates from ESPN. Field, let's go up to New England for a second. Second question first, will Belichick ever coach again? But the first one, this is a no-brainer, right? This is a quarterback that they're going to take at the third pick and a new sort of culture and a new outlook for the New England Patriots led by Jerod Mayo. Is that what's happening up here in New England now? They're going to be not great for a couple of years, but oh, look out in two or three?
I think that Belichick, to answer the second question first quickly, yes, he will coach again. I think he will in 2025. And as far as Patriots pick three are concerned, this is how I feel, is that I have, you know, in scouting these three quarterbacks over the past, you know, close to almost a year now, those three quarterbacks at the very top, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, in some order, you decide what it is, to me are all worthy of a premium first-round pick. They are good enough to be long-term starters in the NFL. So if I'm New England, my approach is this. Whichever one falls to me, I'm going to do everything in my power to build the offense exactly around how that quarterback should be supported. Now, with the NFL free agency taking place before the draft, it makes things a little bit more complicated, but I'm pouring every resource that I can into that prospect, and I'm saying the difficult decisions are the two people ahead of us who have to choose between them. I'm taking the leftover here because this is about opportunity cost. Teams hope to have very few chances to be picking in the top three because unless you're the Bears this year, you usually get that top three pick because you're terrible. And if you're the Patriots, you don't want to be back here next year or the year after or the year after that, right? So it's opportunity cost for me. It's far too good to pass up. I'm taking a quarterback at pick three, mm-hmm. and I'm finding a way to sort of figure out how to plug all the other gaps. And there certainly are notable ones on the offense, you know, the offensive tackle spot, wide receiver spot. But that's the responsibility of a front office is you got to be resourceful enough to find the other things. Because the single hardest thing to find is a franchise quarterback. And when you've got one, everything else in your life becomes easier.
No doubt about that. Field Yates is our guest from ESPN NFL and fantasy football expert there. What about in the AFC South? You had the Jaguars in their fade down the stretch. They lost five of their last six. Trevor Lawrence suffered an NFL-high 21 turnovers last year. My question there is, Field, I mean, considering the talent at quarterback now in the AFC South, Is Trevor Lawrence's star fading, or is it just because, you know, some might be blinded by the early success in the division from C.J. Stroud in Houston?
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's fading necessarily, Matt. I think that he's just become a little bit more of a question mark than we would have thought he was going to be when he came out of Clemson 3 years ago and was billed as this surefire, no doubt about it, quarterback prospect, which rarely is anybody a surefire, no doubt about it, quarterback prospect. They often include some growing pains. You know, Trevor is one of those guys that when you watch him closer, there are games in which you think he's really not the issue. And then you take a step back and you say to yourself, if he's that good, is this team really going to be this average in terms of one loss record, which absent the 2022 season, they have been. So I'm mm-hmm. a believer in Trevor Lawrence, but I think the negotiation that the Jaguars and Trevor may have this offseason because he is eligible for an extension is fascinating. The market for a quarterback, a starting quarterback that the team is choosing to be aggressive in extending, which is what you would be when you're 2 years away from the end of his rookie contract, is not to pay him $30 million per year, right? That's not what Trevor Lawrence would sign for. We're talking about a guy who probably is sitting there saying to himself, even if I'm not perfect, I'm better than Daniel Jones, who got $40 million per year,
yeah.
plus a chance to make another 25 or 35 million in incentives, right? So do the math. That's a lot of dough right there. You know, there are guys who I think have comparable resumes to Trevor through three seasons who have got big money deals. So Trevor Lawrence, Tua Tagovailoa, just two of the quarterbacks that I think are more the interesting negotiations this offseason because while they're not $30 million per year players, are we certain that they're $50 million per year players right now? I think in the case of Trevor, the answer is closer to yes in the organization's eyes. I don't know exactly where Miami feels in that regard to Tua, whether a 50-ish million dollar per year extension is a reasonable, smart, tactical plan. But I tell people often, they don't pay GMs to make the easy decisions. They pay them to make the hard decisions.
No doubt about that. Truer words have never been said here. All right, lastly, Field, next week, what are you most looking forward to at the Combine here in Indianapolis again? And which storyline is pulling you in the most?
I would say, as a draft analyst, you're always looking for the tiebreakers. And what I mean by that is I've got my big board that's got, you know, hundreds of prospects on it right now, and there are a lot of guys that are very, very close. And you're trying to decide, all right, is this wide receiver that you have, you know, 27th better than the guy you have at 33rd?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the difference between 27th and 33rd can be one guy runs a poor 40 time and one guy runs a fast 40 time. And I understand that it's just one test, and I understand that it's just one run. But as we know, the NFL puts legitimate weight into these 40 times. If they didn't, they would not keep doing the combine every single year. So those are the kind of things that help separate players from one another on the board. So certainly looking to see some of these wide receivers run as an example. And then we'll see if any of the top three quarterbacks throw. I think that there's a chance that they will. I also understand that, you know, this combine event's taken a lot of different shapes and forms over the past decade relative to where it was maybe 25 years ago. So I hope to see some of the top guys performing and competing. To me, that is an important step for them to take.
If you're a football fan, follow him on Twitter X. I promise you, he gives you the goods. That is at Field Yates on Twitter X. Can't wait to see you next week down at the Combine. And again, keep up the great work. You're one of the best in the business. And I tell you what, I steal a lot of your information and make it my own, Field.
Hey, take it. It's all good by me. I look forward to seeing you next week there in Indianapolis.
You heard it, Mate. He's going to make me smarter. Thank you, Field Yates, for joining us.
Hey, I plagiarized your stuff. How about that? Hey, we'll see you next week.
Just come out and say it to him rather than just say, hey, did you hey, don't forget, you can listen to that as well as a whole lot more of the latest Colts information on the Colts Audio Network featuring the weekly official Colts podcast. While you're there, check out the free agency previews. These are great. Done it with several key in-house free agents the Colts have, such as Gardner Minshew, Grover Stewart, Kenny Moore, and Michael Pittman Jr. Have you guys seen this Michael Pittman Jr. thing? He's a farmer.
Yeah,
I had no idea. I saw it on social media.
Yeah, he's
got forklift out there moving bales of hay.
Yeah, he's feeding the hogs and the horses.
Pittman,
that's
cool
stuff.
I had no idea that he had that in him. I was like, my gosh, it's a working farm he's got out there.
Yeah, he loves his horses, man.
Okay,
yeah.
And some livestock out there. Anyway, we're talking about the Colts Audio.
And he's out there early, too.
Yeah,
like,
no
the
kidding.
Sun is not even up, and it's cold out there this time
of year.
How about
after?
And it's in Indianapolis.
What about this? He has a 1 o'clock game. They get done about 4:30. He's home by 5. He can still put the lights on the tractor and do some yard work.
Yeah,
and stuff.
He's got a tough schedule, man. He really does.
Pittman Jr.
Jack of all trades.
Great job. Tip of the hat to you. Did not know you had that in you. Anyway, it's at the Colts Audio Network. Everything's available now. YouTube, Colts.com, Colts mobile app, and wherever you download your podcast. We come back, we're going to give you the Forum Credit Union question of the week, and we are going to bring in Mr. Casey Vallier
he's
for
back.
That segment we love to call Come On, Casey. He's got a bunch of useless facts, and he's going to try and stump us. All that and a whole lot more right here on 93.5 and 107.5 The Fan.
Well, I think it starts with the partnerships that we have here locally with Visit Indy, IU Health, the Crown Plaza. And then really, aside from that, what the city has done to develop the infrastructure downtown. You know, the ability for 32 teams and 321 players and 1,600 media to come into Indianapolis, stay downtown, but to be able to access the venues inside. You know, we've got great restaurants, and the city just continues to impress with their developments. You know, we have a new construction project going on downtown with the hotels, which might make this year a little bit dusty, but down the road, we're going to have even more space to do more things with the event. So there's a reason that we've been here since 1987, and you know, we're excited to that the league committed to 2025 in Indianapolis with an option in 26. And we all know there'll be other cities coming in to look at the event and bid the event, but I won't be surprised if it stays in Indianapolis for another 30 years.
This is your weekly fix on Colts football. The Last Word with Jeffrey Gorman and Matt Taylor from the Indiana Union Construction Industry Radio Studio.
We just heard from Jeff Foster, president of National Football Scouting, the man who puts on the NFL Combine, on why Indianapolis continues to host the NFL Combine. Mate, as long as it is going,
yep,
it's going to stay right here. They do it right downtown, the medical staff included, the host committee, everything you want to throw into it. There'll be no better city to host this NFL Combine than right here.
You talk about convenience. It's non-cumbersome. You know, bigger markets cannot duplicate what Indianapolis does. Matt, and Jeff mentioned the buy-in, the community involvement to make it work.
All right, we are The Last Word, brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Make every moment more with FanDuel, proud sportsbook partner of your Indianapolis Colts. We're also brought to you by our friends at Meijer. Meijer, the official supercenter of your Indianapolis Colts and proud sponsor of hundreds of local sports teams across the Midwest. Time now for the Forum Credit Union question of the week, and we also bring in our friend Casey Vallier for this one. The NFL franchise tag. How are you doing today, by the way?
I'm doing good.
You good?
I'm good. Thanks for having me again, Jeff.
All right,
I appreciate it.
Bring a little life to me.
I'm trying. You already told me before, hey, you look like you're dead, so here, I'm trying to bring it up.
It's Friday night.
He looks good. He's always looking good. Okay, here we go. NFL franchise tag window. It is open, remains open through 4 p.m. on March the 5th is when it'll close. In that time, teams are allowed to place franchise tag on the player who's scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent when the new NFL league year begins on March 13th. The last time the Colts used a franchise tag, we say this every year, 2013. It was with McAfee, the punter. The Colts have had the second longest streak of not using the franchise tag in the NFL. They are second behind which NFL team as far as the longest streak of not using the franchise tag.
I'm going to go ahead and pass on to Matt on this one.
Good call, Casey.
The Patriots?
No, it's funny. I'm telling you, there's one team, and I'll tell you what, Shane Steichen knows them very well. It's those Philadelphia Eagles. Okay. They last used it in 2012 to tag this wide receiver. And I'll just say
DeSean Jackson.
There it is, speed merchant.
That a boy.
DeSean Jackson.
Just thinking 2012 and top-tier receivers at that time. Okay.
Good call, Casey.
Right. It's like Silver Linings Playbook over there.
Exactly.
Remember that movie? That's all I can remember from that movie is DeSean Jackson taking one of the house against the Cowboys.
Bradley Cooper and everyone. Good call, Case. Visit the Forum Credit Union fan forum section at Colts.com. Interact with other fans online. Post a topic. Participate in discussions regarding your Colts. Forum Credit Union helping members live their financial dreams. Casey, I love this segment. It's called Come On, Casey.
What are you talking about?
What the hell's going on?
What you talking about, Will?
You talking to me?
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. Who cares?
Casey, make this good, because if we don't get it, here's the bad news and good news. If we get this, which I think we're going to, maybe get this thing and say, I heard that before, and be honest, Mate, then you have to buy Shapiro's next week while we're downtown.
Oh, okay. Man, on the line.
I mean,
here.
At least we're getting Shapiro's.
If we don't get it, which is probably going to happen, don't worry, I'll buy you Shapiro's.
Okay, that's so we're getting Shapiro's. That's, you know, hey, I'm good with it.
Jeffrey's
win or loss, we're
good. He's getting ham on rye regardless.
You're in a win-win, Case.
Yes.
What do you got for us?
So this one is for Jeffrey. Matt and I remember this. Earlier this week, you came in and your countdown was already ready for the Olympic Games.
Oh,
you know how excited you are. They start in July.
Oh.
So they're in Paris. It'll be the third time it'll be in Paris. They're the second modern city to host the Olympics for three times.
Mm-hmm.
Can you name the other city?
Third time Paris is hosting it. And what's another country that's hosted it and what?
So London, previously, they were the other city to host this three times. But I want to take you back to one of the first times Paris hosted.
Okay.
1900, they had two debut events that went one time and were gone. You tell me if they should have stuck around, okay?
Oh, wow. Here we go.
Okay. So the first one, this might be my favorite
it's like
one.
It's barrel rolling or something?
mule throwing?
It's called Plunge for Distance. So competitors stood on outside of a pool, they dove in, and they were supposed to be as calm as they could to see how far they would drift in the pool, and whoever drifted the furthest won a gold medal.
Well, how long does it take?
I mean,
what do you fall asleep?
So it's like a holding your breath contest.
You hold your breath
and see how long your drift
will go. Yeah. Who's watching that?
By the way.
But who thought of that?
Who thought of that? Right. Yeah, it's a very...
And you know underwater kicks were everywhere because they didn't have any cameras.
They didn't have cameras down there.
Men and women are kicking.
Guys like,
there was no GoPro. There wasn't like a pool
Come
reporter.
Come on. Okay. What's another one?
So the other one, it is another sort of swim related. It's called the Obstacle Swim.
This was in the Olympics.
In the Olympics in 1900. So what you had to do is you had to climb over poles and boats,
right.
And then you had to jump into the water
and
swim under those boats and poles for 200 meters.
So much like some people would be doing after the slippery noodle.
Yeah,
this weekend.
Sounds like the 4th of July down at Lake Monroe.
That's what I'm getting at, is I think the guy who came up with both of those was a drunk guy who was like, here's a great idea.
That's better than speed walking. I know speed walking is still an Olympic event there.
Break dancing. Dancing makes its debut this year.
And
Breakdancing.
Jimmer Fredette, one of the leaders in 3-on-3 for basketball fans.
He is
their favorite.
So Gus Macker is now an
Gus
Olympic event.
Gus Macker, yeah.
Bring back the plunge.
Oh, I loved Gus Macker.
Bring back the plunge.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Hey, Colts fans, don't forget NFL Combine coming up. Here's a little tidbit for you. Go to NFL.com/combine access. You can get tickets to go down there and see the NFL Combine in person. Maytay, give me a final thought on the weekend, will you?
Girl.
Casey, what do you got?
I got nothing. Clearly, Jeffrey's ready to go home.
I'm teasing. Maytay, give me something.
We're done at 7. Girls basketball tomorrow. I'm on the 3A game on radio.
Are you? Nice. Boy. Listen to our very own Maytay, voice of the Colts. He's everywhere. Appreciate the fun, guys. Thanks to Field Yates and Jeff Foster today. We do it every Friday night. And don't forget, check us out all next week on Colts.com and the Colts Audio Network, bringing you the tidbits and things you need to hear on the Colts at the NFL Combine. Coming up next, ESPN Radio, right here on 93.5, 107.5, The Fan.